number 118 has been announced as our song of invitation and encouragement this morning. Count your blessings. And oh, how we have been blessed. I truly hope and trust that we are thankful for our blessings. This morning, passages were read from John chapter 20, and the verses were 26 through 28. I want to read verse 27 and 28 again for emphasis' sake. Then says he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." I want to focus on the phrase in verse 28, "My Lord." And in our words of exhortation on today, I want to ask the question, is Jesus truly your Lord? Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Is Jesus truly your Lord? The word Lord, or the expression Lord, is used on a number of occasions in reference to Jesus. A few of them would be in Psalms 110 in verse 1, where David said that the Lord said to my Lord. Mary, in John chapter 20, in verse number 28, after realizing that Jesus was not in the tomb where she thought that he would be, she said, "They have taken away my Lord." Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 in verse number 8, he said these words, "Christ Jesus, my Lord." And again, Thomas says in the verses that were read, "My Lord and my God." But what does it mean to truly have Jesus as your Lord, or to have Jesus as my Lord? Most people have no problem with Jesus being their Savior. But when it comes to Jesus being their Lord, that's where the problem enters into. And as I go through my lesson this morning, I hope to point out where the problem lies. As I said on Wednesday night, as I sort of introduced this lesson, many people will make statements like this. Some will say Jesus, and some will say God, who is the head of my life. Others will say Jesus, who is the Lord of my life. But do they really understand what they are saying when they say Jesus is the Lord of my life? As I said, they readily accept him as the Savior. But I say to us in the beginning this morning that if Jesus is truly going to be our Savior, he must be our Lord. He will not be our Savior unless he's our Lord. So is Jesus truly your Lord? When we look at the word Lord itself, There are two words that I want to discuss very briefly that the English word Lord comes from. It comes from a Greek word, kuros. And this word means power. And is often translated in the Bible as master, as well as owner. It describes one having power, authority. And you know what the Bible says concerning Jesus in Matthew 28 and verse 18. It speaks of him as having power. But there's another word that also we get the word Lord from. And it comes from the word despot. Usually, when we think of despot, we think of one who exercises this power abusively, oppressively, tyrannical, or as a tyrant. We think of such people like Hitler, like Stalin. We refer to them many times as despots because they rule, so to speak, with an iron fist. But the actual definition of this word is that it is a ruler with absolute power, authority. Kuros just means power. Despot means absolute power, authority. Now, Jesus doesn't rule oppressively, but he has absolute authority. So again in Matthew 28 and verse number 18, and most, the King James Version says, all power, but most translations render this verse as Jesus says, all authority. I got it all. I have absolute authority. There is no authority existing anywhere that will supersede my authority. Yes, Jesus does delegate his authority on occasion. Elders have been delegated authority, but elders do not have absolute authority. That's why when Peter wrote to the Christians in 1 Peter chapter 5, he cautioned the elders not to lord over God's heritage. In other words, don't reign and rule with an iron fist, because you have a chief shepherd that you got to answer to. Somebody that has all authority. So Jesus then is the one who possesses all power, all authority, and is absolute. So when we come to answering the question, is Jesus my Lord? Does he reign supreme in your life and in my life? Does he has the last word in your life and in my life? Or do I want to interject and say, Lord, I think it should be this way. I think it should be that way. Well, I tell us this morning, the Lord never asked us what we thought how it should be. As a matter of fact, he's told us that my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. So don't try to interject your thoughts and your ways into my thoughts and my ways. You have no business with that. I have absolute authority. So is Jesus truly your Lord? For Jesus is indeed the Lord. But in order for him to truly bless our lives, as we'll sing after a while, count your blessings, for him to truly bless our lives the way he wants to bless our lives, spiritually speaking, He must be our Lord. He declared even himself as he was teaching that great lesson on humility in John chapter 13. In verse number 13, he said to the apostles there, he says, you call me master and Lord, and you say well. You're right. You call me master, and you call me Lord, and you are exactly right, for so I am. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he declared Jesus, the risen Savior, to be the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, he said, the one that you crucified, God has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. By virtue of his death and his resurrection, Paul proclaimed him, Jesus, as Lord. Romans 14 and verse number 9. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. When Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he declared him as the only Lord. He talked about other gods previous to this passage, verse number 6. But he said in verse number 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So, with all of those scriptures, talking about Jesus as being the one Lord, as being the only Lord, as being the Lord, that rules out any other lords. There must not be any other lords, any other masters, any other rulers in our lives other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It rules out lords such as myself. You know, many times ourselves become our lords. You know, we will operate on the dictates, again, of what I want to do. But we must lay aside ourselves. It cannot be our Lord. And many times the dictates of our flesh becomes our Lord. We must crucify the flesh. It cannot be our Lord. Many times the world becomes our Lord. It cannot be our Lord. Anything outside of myself which would lead me away from the Lord, I must rule it out. No wonder Paul said to the churches at Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 14, he says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It rules out such things as family. Sometimes family becomes our Lord. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, teaches us the necessity of ruling out family as being our Lord. Many times the philosophy and the traditions of men becomes our Lord. Colossians rather, chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. We must lay those things aside. We must not be governed by the philosophies and the tradition of men. Many times, sometimes our brethren may become our Lord. You see, sometimes there's a tendency to fear the brethren, and we allow them to rule and reign in our lives. But again, we just must remember that while, as we've already talked about, the elders having this delegated authority, we only submit to them because we first of all submit to the one who has all authority. So whether it's the elders, whether it's the wives submitting to the husband, whether it's the citizen submitting to the government, we do it only because we have first made Jesus as our Lord, and he teaches us that we're to submit ourselves to them. So what does it truly mean then to have Jesus as my Lord? We must think of Jesus not simply from an intellectual standpoint as being the Lord, but we must make it personal. And think of him as being my Lord, that I am going to commit my life to. And Jesus makes it so plain in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. He says, "Why call you me Lord and do not the things?" Again, going back to my opening remarks, that many people who make a statement that God is the head of my life or that Jesus is the Lord of my life, and you can look at their lives and you can see they are not living them in harmony with the will of God. Jesus is saying to them, and he's saying to us, if we live in such a fashion, why are you making such a statement? Why are you calling me Lord, Lord, if you're not going to do what I say? It does no good to claim that he's the head of our lives if we are not going to do what he tells us to do. Again, he wants to be our Savior, and he will be our Savior, but he'll only be our Savior if we do what he tells us to do. The Hebrew writer said it like this by inspiration in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. He said, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him." Not all them that claim him as Lord, but all them that obey him, that truly make him their personal Lord in their lives and say, "I'm going to submit to whatever you tell me to do." Now, yes, we make our mistakes. We trip up from time to time. But our lives must be lived in such a fashion that when I do make a mistake, I realize that I have transgressed against my Lord, and I repent of that thing, ask for his forgiveness, and get back into the race, stay in the fight, as Brother James says, and continue to do the will of God. So why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Well, when we truly make Jesus our Lord, it ought to be demonstrated by listening to Jesus to whatever he teaches us to do. Peter said this as he was talking after the lame man had been healed. He had a conversation with some people. And one of the things he said to them in this conversation is found in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 20. Beginning, he says this. He says, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." He says, "Now, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you," he says, "of your brethren, like unto you." He says, "Him shall you hear in what church? All things." He says, you need to listen to Jesus. And, of course, the idea there is not just listening with the audible ear, of course, yes. But also the idea is to do what he says. You shall listen. You've got to listen to him in everything that he says. In other words, you've got to make him Lord of your life, because he rules and reigns supremely in your life. Many folks are listening to other things other than to Jesus. That falls under the heading of listening to a stranger. Didn't cover this in his lesson last Sunday, but from John chapter 10, Jesus talked about stranger they will not follow. He said, "The sheep hear my voice and follow me. But a stranger," he says, "he will not follow." Sheep, if dumb sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd, which is their master in that case, and understand and know that they are to follow only the voice of their master. Don't you know, you and I, who are supposed to be intelligent beings, ought to have sense enough to follow Jesus Christ, and not somebody that says something different from what the Word of God says. We ought to have as much sense as sheep. If we truly make Jesus our Lord, then we're going to listen to what he says. And we're going to obey what he says. Well, let's look at some things that he's taught in his word as we hasten on this morning. He teaches us in his word that we are to be servants to one another. But you know, it seems like the American way, I don't know about the whole world, but it seems like the American way is you serve me. I'm the one. I'm the important. I'm the one that needs to be served. And if you can't serve me, then you serve somebody I like. And maybe I'll be getting some service, in a sense, through them. Let me share with you what I'm talking about. Y'all remember the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John? She comes to Jesus, and she says to Jesus, this is found in Matthew chapter 20, that I want you to allow, I'm paraphrasing it, one of my sons to sit on your right hand and the other on the left. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. You don't understand what you're asking. It's not mine to give. It's my Father in heaven. That's his business. But he goes on and he uses this as a point to teach a valuable lesson. And he says this in verse number 25. But Jesus called them unto him. And by the way, before we get there, the scripture says that when the other apostles heard what was going on, they got upset. They got mad. I tell you, brothers and sisters, you need to be careful what you get mad about. You need to understand what you get mad about. They didn't realize the severity of the situation. And Jesus said to them, let me tell you who you acting like. You're acting just like the Gentiles. You're acting like folks. You've been with me. You've seen what I've done. You've seen the miracles. You've seen all of my great works. And now you're acting like somebody that don't even know me. The Gentiles didn't know the Lord. He said, now this is how they act. They behave like this. Listen to what he says. He said that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Now that's what the Lord says. The Lord says it shall not be so among you. But then he goes on and says, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? Servant. I hope I'm talking to people today who just want to be a servant. All of us are just servants. I don't care what, quote, position we hold, we are just a servant. We serve one another as we serve the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anything beyond that, we have not made Jesus our Lord. Elders, you just serve the congregation. Preachers, you just serve the congregation. Deacons, you just serve the congregation. Bible class teachers, you just serve the classes that you teach. Members, you just serve one another. And all of us serve Christ. So if we're looking for anything else, we're acting just like the Gentiles. We're acting like folks who don't know the Lord. We have not made Jesus our Lord. And we are in trouble with the Lord. And if there's anybody you don't want to be in trouble with, it's the Lord. Yes, indeed, we need to be on peaceful terms with the Lord. Jesus also calls us, I'm talking about the one who has all authority, he calls us to love and treat our enemies right. But you know what we want to do most of the time? Many, or I should say many times? We want to treat them like they treat us. That's not our lane. You know they talk about stay in your lane? That's not our lane. Treat us. Listen to what the Lord says through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 beginning. He says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, he says, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, he says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is whose? Is mine. I will repay for the Lord. Our job is not to give vengeance. God has never called us to do his job. That's God's job, to rain down vengeance. But we want to take God's job. Oh, he treated me like this. She treated me like that. I got to let them have a piece of my mind. They're not going to get away with this. Not me. Branches don't take stuff like that. That's the kind of mentality many folks have. But God says, vengeance is mine. Don't you go out here recompensing evil for evil. That's not your job. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45, you're familiar with that passage. He says there that you love your enemies. You pray for them that despitefully use you. Somebody says, that's hard to do. It may be hard, but that's what the Lord says. If you're going to make the Lord and you're going to have the Lord truly as the Lord of your life, you've got to find a way to do what the Lord said to do. Even though it goes against the grain, you got to work at it. And you got to meet the challenge to do what the Lord says. I'm talking about, is Jesus truly your Lord? If you can't somehow grow to the point where you love your enemies and you pray for them, and you get to the point where you leave vengeance to God, then stop calling Jesus Lord. Because Jesus again says, why call me Lord and do not the things which I say? I'm not fussing this morning. I'm just trying to get us to see the point that how we need to really commit ourselves to Jesus and allow him to be the Lord of our lives. Because if we don't allow him to be the Lord of our lives, he'll never be our Savior. So, as he goes on in this passage, he says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And he didn't say feed him poison. He's not talking, you can't read that in the text. He's talking about do good to him. If he's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, even though we live in a world of chaos, God has called us to be light in the world, that somehow maybe we can overcome and be an influence in somebody's lives to depart from all of this evil stuff that's going on. Every time you turn on the news, somebody has got killed. Something has happened here. Something has happened there. Somebody has done this. Somebody has done something else. All of this is because folks will not make Jesus their Lord. And it may be that they are looking at Christians, and Christians are not showing them the Lord in their life. We have a responsibility, church, to let the world know that Jesus is my Lord. He calls upon us to live holy lives, to live a separate life, a different life, set apart for the Master's use. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16, he says, of obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. And the wonderful thing about this is that he's talking to people who had been enlightened. Enlightened, they were ignorant. But yet he's saying to them that like you were living when you were ignorant. You know better. better. We know how. We know, as we just talked about, we know how we're to treat our enemies. We know better because God's word teaches us that. So he says, don't you fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And your whole lifestyle need to be a life of holiness, dedicated